Hello, and welcome to Life Beyond the Numbers, the podcast for people who are curious about how to have a more fulfilling work life. We live in a world largely driven by numbers, logic, and reason. But how we feel at work and about our work impacts us, our organizations, and society. There is a relationship between the numbers of our organizations and the life beyond the numbers. I'm Susan Mikhrylon, your host. I've lived and worked in many countries. I've met people who love what they do and people who don't, people who bring their full selves to work and people who won't. But one thing that I've learned that is common to us all is that we are all unique and have unique experiences. And it's helpful to know that there are others who think like we do, or have had struggles too, or have gone where we want to go, or can show us things we didn't know. So join me and my guests as we place a lens on the human side of work life by sharing insights, stories, and strategies to inspire you to let your uniqueness shine. Hello and welcome to episode 169 of Life Beyond the Numbers. And this episode is going out on Saturday, March 30th, 2024. As you probably know, there are or were five Saturdays in March. And when there's five Saturdays in a month, the fifth Saturday, I release a compilation episode. It has been my absolute pleasure to go back over the episodes of 2024 to date and weave together an episode from some of those. The theme of this episode is inner resourcefulness, inner resources, and the associated personal responsibility that comes with accessing our own inner resources and resourcefulness. And we'll kick off first with an excerpt from episode 159 with Karina Rook. The episode was called Freedom to be Human. Karina is talking to us about how we all have an entitlement to shine our brightest.
I think we have an entitlement to shine our brightest. Yeah, and how I help people do that, living your most vibrant, radiant life is your entitlement. And if society has told you anything otherwise, or life is just on top of you, then not on my watch. That's what I help my clients do. That's what we're going to work on. And so, yeah, so that we're all made of stardust. There's something in all of us that is worthy and necessary to shine. You're here for a reason. One in 400 trillion, that little speck of stardust that started you all off. Yeah.
And is it possible then, Karina, to have it all, to shine and to feel that sense of freedom to be human and that holistic approach to success? Because I'm leaning into this. And I shouldn't say even I, but you've got me going here. I'm going, I'm going to have to do something now.
Absolutely. It's all within all of us. People come at it at different points, even if it's just resilience, boosting resilience. And there's a lovely article of someone I really respect and collaborated with a few times. Dr. Dorian Dugmore, and he had an article out the other day which is titled simply Resilience Equals Results. This is like a formula, and it totally is similar to what I've been talking about now. How do you build that resilience back? And you absolutely shining like the superstar that you are. You're all that stardust coming together and living your most vibrant life. How people can get their vibrancy back, that radiance. It is first and foremost listening to what actually lights them up, because we all know that, but it might be the quietest voice that you hear out of an orchestra of other voices in our own minds. And you know, all the ones that tell us to play it safe or don't be so silly, you can't do that, you've had a career of so many years now, of course you cannot go and do that thing that you're telling me you want to do. But the thing is, that is the thing that's going to light you up. And so the difficult part is how you then bridge from where you currently are to getting to that point. But the other parts of the mix then, of course, is having that self-awareness of what the lighting up thing is. More, it can be related to purpose. It's like the environment you need to be in, or the things that you're doing, or the people you spend time with, or even what do you spend your time talking and thinking about. Just do more of that to start with. It doesn't have to be the biggest career change and all and everything that goes with that, but just start small and just listen more and more to that voice that tells you to do more of what actually brings you joy, because by definition that is going to make you sparkle more than doing the things that doesn't. And then it is that piece of self-leadership.
Next, we go to episode 161, All Roads Lead to Centre. And this episode was with Claudia Angell. And we kick off exactly where we left off. We talk about that piece of self-leadership and what does it mean to lead our own lives. Claudia, so how, we're back to that question, how, aren't we? But how can, what does it mean, I think is the question, to lead your life?
Well, for me, I'm consistently, continuously discovering this. I'm still in it, but I discovered that the key is the center, not losing your center. So this message constantly comes to me, all roads lead to center. Because of course, it's normal, human, to go into extremes because of those fears that we have in our system, those shadows that are overwhelming us, especially in moments of shock. We tend to go into these two extremes, even to hide. I mean, either to hide, not to show yourself anymore. Like, I'm not good enough. People don't understand me. I don't know how and what to do. I don't have value. I'm not lovable. I'm not beautiful. Things like this, like, I hide myself, I retreat myself from the world, so I will not show myself, which is an extreme. You cannot stay there forever, but you go there. Or the other way around, like, show off. Look at me. Look at me. I have discovered this and this and that. Come to me to help you. Come, come, come. I am the one who discovered this and that. So I will help you not to repeat this suffering anymore. Do, 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 do. So the other extreme. And we tend to, we are human. But the key is to stay as much as possible to the center. And what I have discovered is that you cannot stay in the center only from here. It's impossible. Only the intellect, this busyness of mind, do not help you to stay there. It is a lie. You lie to yourself because you can discipline for one day, two, three, a week, a month, but not more. You lose the center. So what I have discovered is this amazing combination between heart and mind, between feeling and thinking, between affect and intellect, someday between feminine and masculine, yes, between the right and the left hemisphere. So in all this time, I was like, wow, I need to surrender. My body was telling me this. I need to surrender to what I listened actually from inside. And something will happen in exactly the appropriate way for me. The real discipline for me in those days and weeks and months was continuing to listen inwardly and to follow these messages that were coming really from the center of my body. And believe me, it was completely illogical. For many people, it was crazy. It was weird.
Next up, we hear from Nathan Simmons, and Nathan's episode, A Future Possibility, was episode 167. And interestingly, Nathan talked about how we've been taught and trained to ignore that inner messenger, that inner voice, those messages from the inside.
We've been taught and trained to ignore our intuition. It's one of the first things that we lose when we experience trauma. And many people don't realize this is the first thing. There you are, 2-3 years old or whatever, and you decide you want to see what orange crayon looks like on the floor or wallpaper, and you're just expressing your creativity as a small child. But then your mom is premenstrual, just got a bill from the phone shop, doesn't know how to pay it, had an argument with your dad, whatever, da da da. And she goes apoplectic on fucking full postal screaming at you. And the 2-3-year-old has no concept of what the hell's going on here. This is the divine feminine. This is God, like one half of God here. And I was just expressing my creativity and it was met with that. Okay, I can't trust the voice in my head that said to explore myself. And I speak to these people 20 years later, 30 years later, and then they're, yeah, but I'm not creative. In our traumatic moments, we learn to ignore the intuition, the inner voice, the deep wisdom that comes from within who we are completely. Until we get to those testing moments and we are pushed so far out of alignment, it's like, this isn't you. What do you want to do with this? What do you want to do with this piece of information, right? But in that point, you have a moment of discernment. And you can either carry on going down that road, and you hear them say that, and we know where that road goes. Or you can make a decision here. And you were saying before that it was difficult to do that. It was hard to do that. And that's your ego speaking. And you shouldn't do that, because your ego's there just to keep you safe. And your ego's encouraging you to sniff coke. It's encouraging you to drink vodka. It's encouraging you to screw your secretary and do all of these things, all these toxic behaviors. But it's doing all of that because it loves you. It doesn't want you to feel like you did when it first showed up in your life. So it gives you all these habits and behaviors to keep you distracted, because it you can't live in that state of fear or that state of worry and concern. So you build up all these toxic habits in order to keep you safe, which are actually corroding you from the inside out. Autoimmune disorder, drink problems, relationship challenges, all of this stuff is stress related. So when we see that, it's like, oh, my ego's doing this to keep me safe. It's doing it because it loves me, not because I'm a fucking idiot. Oh, my God. Okay, cool. These choices of words that I've used about myself at times, and it's like, I see it for what it is. It's like, right, you love me. Thank you very much. Okay. But the challenge with the ego when it's doing these things, it's working on an operating procedure that was written by a three-year-old. It still thinks you're 3 years old and being shouted at by your mum for drawing on the wallpaper. It doesn't know you've grown up. So when it starts to realize this, it's like, hold on a minute, you can be an adult. In that moment, that juncture for me, the higher self stepped in, cut through everything, didn't even circumvent it. It just went straight through and went, you've got a choice, do this. Okay, that's obvious. Okay, this is what I'm came for. And all of a sudden, the hard work becomes very easy. So when we make that choice, it appears hard according to the ego, but the decision's really easy.
If you'd like to hear about the choice story that Nathan told us, and it was an edge of the precipice choice that he had to make in his life, and I was on the edge of my seat listening to it, go back and have a listen to episode 167, A Future Possibility. Next, we go to episode 158, Wake Up, with Caroline Tanya Banns. And Caroline is talking about when she had a wake-up call to figure out what it was that she really needed.
The idea actually came from my partner. We just talked about maybe one fine day we could get married or not. And then he said to me, why don't you marry yourself? I said, okay, because of all my journey I went through my life, there were so many aha moments. I actually found myself at this all this awareness coming in my life, and I was actually blind for many years in my life. So I was in reaction mode. I was neglecting myself. I was repressing and everything like that. And then I said, yeah, why not? I could just go and do that. And then I looked for a date. I looked for where I could do that and how I could do that. And so it was in May was a wonderful day. I was in my hometown and just invited a few people and promised myself actually to really look after me and to be honest with myself, to always say what I need. Because in my former life, I've always had this tendency to really go for everything else than my own needs. And I was like a chameleon. I adapted everywhere, but I did not actually know myself. And that was very unhealthy, actually. So I had to learn to look at myself. What do I really need? And this wedding day, I call it, was actually like a promise to myself that I really want to be authentic. I want to really fulfill my own needs as well, not only the needs of other people in my life. When I look back, my relationships, I was not in a good relationship with myself as I was driven by fear. I'm a fear type. Mm-hmm. And of course, this is something that goes on very unconsciously in life. So I was constantly adapting and like a chameleon, as I said, and just running for security. And I was not aware of all that. And that's also why I started the conversation when I talked to my partner about maybe one fine day getting married or not. And for me, that was like an anchor in my life, just to be in relationship, to be in security and everything like that. And it was about waking up to myself about, hey, I'm my own security. Huh? I don't need anyone outside. I can just be myself. I could just be my own safe haven here, right? And this was the wake-up call for me because, I mean, all my relationships, I was always a pattern going on. And I really had to wake up here from this sleep state and first start a good relationship with myself. So be my true self, understanding my patterns, understanding what's going on in my life, and to also face all my fears, to be able to speak them out loud, to say, hey, I'm afraid of being alone. I'm afraid of being without any support. And the more I did that, the more I faced my fears, the easier it got. Fear is, first of all, it's a big thing. And then it gets smaller and smaller. And then shrinks. You finally think, okay, I can just rely on myself. And I mean, having said that, of course, this is not every day like, yay, I'm here and I can rely. We're all human beings. Sometimes we have a bad day. Sometimes we fall back. I always call it on that ladder. But I always say it's good to know the way back home.
Next, we're going to hear from Beth Stallwood. And Beth was on episode 165, Work Joy Formula. And the title gives it away there. It is all about creating your own formula for work joy. So go and have a listen to that one if you haven't already, or maybe you need to listen to it again. What I like about this piece in particular from Beth's episode is talking about personal responsibility.
I'm really, really big on the idea of really good personal responsibility towards your own joyfulness, happiness, good stuff, whatever you want to call it. Some organizations might call it engagement. Some people might call it happiness. Some people might call it joy. Whatever you want to name it, that good feeling you get when you're at work, how can you create more of it yourself? How can you put yourself in the right mindset and in the right place at the right time to be able to get that feeling more often? But it's not something other people give to you. It's something that you can create for yourself. And sometimes it's harder to create it because you're in an organization that maybe doesn't align. And sometimes it's easier to create it because you put yourself in a place that really can make a difference for you.
In addition to personal responsibility in that clip, Beth also makes a reference to feelings and mindset or thinking. This is where we pick up next with Andy Brown. Andy Brown was on episode 166, Emotional Overdraft. And he talks about if he had a tattoo, his tattoo would say, your feelings are a measure of the quality of your thinking.
So René Loisy, who's an absolutely brilliant three principles coach I've worked with, she talks about your feelings are a measure of the quality of your thinking. And I if I had a tattoo, that's what I'd have. Your feelings are the measure of the quality of your thinking is such a brilliant, brilliant thing. And for anyone listening, what that means is if you're feeling frustrated, if you're feeling angry, if you're feeling irritated, if you're feeling happy for that matter, that's a good measure of what quality of thinking is going on in your brain in that moment. And emotions are very, very, very tightly related to your thinking. So they're a manifestation of it. And she goes on to say that then your feelings dictate your behaviors, which dictate your outcomes, which is true as well. So your feelings are this manifestation of your thinking. So if your feelings are off, you know that your thinking is probably not as clear as it could be. So it's a really good sense checker. So for me, it makes complete sense to think about emotions. It makes complete sense to talk about feelings. We don't do it enough. And again, go back to that board meeting with the management intelligence. I always ask my clients how they're feeling. I always encourage them to talk to their staff about how they're feeling, because how you feel is the reality of what they're actually experiencing. Whatever you intended, whatever you said and meant, what they felt is how they experienced what you said.
There is something very powerful about labeling what you're feeling, and not with just those five shortcuts, stereotypical words that we use, but actually looking for the word, or even just describing it. You don't have to have one word. You can have a few words, and it takes the power away somehow as well by labeling and by having that explanation.
Well, and by awareness, isn't it? It's the awareness.
Yeah.
I think being aware of it in the moment changes your relationship to it.
Yes.
It loses its power. Like you said, it loses its power in the moment because you've gone, oh, that's one of those. You almost stepped back and gone, okay, that's that. I'm getting angry. Well, why is that? What's my thinking? And that's when you suddenly get the power back.
And you can do that for yourself. So that's powerful as well.
Yes.
And finally, a final word from Karina Rook. We started out with Karina Rook from episode 159, Freedom to be Human. And we're also going to end the episode with a really short excerpt from that episode that just helps us see the benefits of embracing that freedom to be human.
We are always at our best when we have freedom to be human. And what I mean by that is when we remember or lean into what makes us human. Oh my gosh, that's octane for our performance. And it's so much easier. So freedom to be human is everything about not trying to be a robot, not trying to do things that we're not wired to do, lean into what makes us tick. And at that point, oh, life is so much easier.
Thank you so much for listening. I hope you've enjoyed the paths we traversed on today's episode. If something rang true for you, be sure to let me know. Or maybe you can share this with someone in your life who would benefit from listening too. And if you enjoy helping others, I'd be so grateful if you would leave a review so that people who might also be curious about their own life beyond the numbers can discover this podcast too.